that we find in it, it's so clear. And it is so true how we need to be spending time with you. No matter how busy life gets, no matter what trials and problems we face, we need you. We need to spend time with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep from getting distracted. Let us stay on track. All of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I did want to take a break from our study in the book of Joshua and address the moms on this Mother's Day. Moms, as your sons, as your daughters, as your husbands, we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank you for all that you have done. I think the pressures that are placed on a mother's shoulder are the most demanding of pressures. They're tough. That, you know, phrase, a woman's work is never done, is really true. A woman's work is never done. A mother's work is never done. It can be physically exhausting, emotionally draining. Tough job to be a mom. And I don't think many of us guys get it. I don't think we could take it. I don't think we could make it as moms because of the things that they have to do and go through. How many of you watched the Survivor series on TV or heard anything of the Survivor series? You know, it was a show on TV where 16 individuals were put on a remote island. And the goal is to be the last one on that island, and they're trying to survive. But at the same time, they're working together, but at the same time, they're voting each other off the island. So it's kind of an interesting thing to watch, but someone came up with a clever idea. They think that the next Survivor series should be for men only, for dads. And this is the rule of the game. Moms, wives, you can get a kick out of this. This is how the men would do it. Here's the rules. 6 men will be dropped on an island with 1 van and 4 kids each for 6 weeks. Each kid plays 2 sports and either takes music or dance classes. There is no access to fast food. Each man must take care of his 4 kids, keep his assigned house clean, correct all homework, complete science projects, cook, do laundry, etc., etc. The men only have access to television when the kids are asleep and all chores are done. There is only 1 TV between them and there is no remote. The men must shave their legs and wear makeup daily, which they must apply themselves while driving or while making 4 lunches. They must attend weekly PTA meetings, clean up after their sick children at 3 a.m., make an Indian hut model with 6 toothpicks, a tortilla, and 1 marker, and get a 4-year-old to eat a serving of peas. The kids vote them off based on performance. And the winner gets to go back to his job. That's it. And guys, I'll bet you we would admit our jobs are much easier than the wives and the moms. And we appreciate you mothers, all that you do. And you do so much. And on this day, we do give you our honor, our respect. And you're going to get cards. You're going to get a meal. This afternoon, I hope you won't have to do the dishes afterwards. You're going to get presents. You're going to get gifts. You're going to get things that possibly you need to make your life as a mother easier. But this morning at church, I want to remind you moms that there is one thing that you need the most. And there's only one. There's one thing that you need in your life. And as it turns out, what moms need most, it's the same thing that we all need. We all need this most. We need to spend time with Jesus Christ. We need to have Him as a priority in our life, no matter how busy we get. I've taken you to a passage this morning where I think we see that so clearly, the story of Mary and Martha. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, Jesus and his disciples are on the move. And verse 38 says, "Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him," Jesus, "into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. This Martha and Mary, they were sisters. They had a brother named Lazarus. They lived in the city of Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus had a relationship with this family. He sort of adopted them as his family. Their home sort of became his home. Whenever he went into Jerusalem, oftentimes he would stay with them at their house in Bethany. And he stayed with them probably most of his last week when he was in Jerusalem before he was crucified. So he knew this family very well. He was familiar with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And it's very obvious from here and from other portions of Scripture that Martha was the woman in charge. She was the one in control. She was the one running the show. She was in authority. Martha, her name means mistress. She was the mistress of the house. She was the lady of the house. She may have even been the owner of the house. Look at verse 38. Right there in the middle, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. It was her house. Now, maybe she didn't own it legally, but even so, it was no question. She was in charge. It was her house. She is always portrayed as the activist disciple, the type A personality, the aggressive woman, really getting things going, keeping things going, making things happen, keeping things happening, in charge, going for it, very, very busy. That's what happens here. Jesus comes to her house and she takes control. She becomes the hostess, welcoming him into her home. In John chapter 11, when her brother Lazarus dies, if you remember that story, and she had sent word to Jesus to come, and Jesus delayed in coming, and he still hadn't got there even a couple days after Lazarus had died. But when Martha found out that Jesus was coming, she took off and went to him. Got to him before he got to her. Very aggressive. In John chapter 12, after Lazarus is raised from the dead, there's a dinner that is given at their house. Jesus and his 12 disciples, Lazarus and some other. And again, we're told there, Martha took control. She's serving. She makes the dinner for 15 people. This is Martha, very busy, very aggressive. And I think we can also tell from her life that she was probably a perfectionist. Ever met one of those? A perfectionist. Perfectionists can drive other people crazy. They can drive themselves crazy because nothing is ever done right. Nothing is ever done perfectly. And a perfectionist struggles, and a perfectionist makes themselves busier and busier, trying to do better and better. I think that's what Martha was like, and it was a dangerous situation to be in. John Quincy Adams was a perfectionist. He held more important offices than anyone else in the history of the United States. He served with distinction as president, senator, congressman, minister to major European powers. He participated in various capacities in the American Revolution, the War of 1812, events leading to the Civil War. Yet, at age 70, with all of that behind him, he wrote, "My whole life has been a succession of disappointments. I can scarcely recollect a single instance of success in anything that I ever undertook." Imagine saying something like that after doing all that. I think moms and people like Martha are like that. They never enjoy what they've done, what they've accomplished. There's always more to be done. That's what Martha was like. She's very busy, a busy woman. The mom, moms, is a busy woman. Mothers are extremely busy. I think mothers with children at home are probably the busiest people on planet Earth. And listen, the point of this study is not to put down a busy life. It's not that we're not supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be busy. In fact, a Christian woman is busy, has to be busy. The Bible tells Christians to be busy, never to be idle, never to be just hanging around doing nothing. You got to do something. Otherwise, we get in trouble. It's not against living a busy life. We all have busy lives. It's how to handle the busy life. And Martha hadn't learned to handle it very well. Listen, a Christian woman is to be busy. A mom is to be busy. I thought about doing a study on Proverbs 31 this morning, the study of the virtuous woman. Many of you have probably read that and studied that for yourself. And I just decided to save that for another day. But I got to tell you, just reading that chapter got me tired. And remember, that's God's definition of a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is to be busy. A godly woman is to be busy. A Christian woman is to be busy. Man, you look at Proverbs 31 and you see very clearly that the virtuous woman is to be a devoted wife. And that takes time. She's to take care of her husband. She's to seek his welfare. She's to enhance the reputation of her husband. She's to be the type of wife whose husband has absolute confidence in. And that takes work. A husband places absolute confidence in his wife to take care of details in daily life, complex issues. A woman is busy doing that. Proverbs 31 tells us that a virtuous woman is someone who's a diligent worker. Whether they're working inside the house, in the home or outside the home or both, a woman is to be working and working hard. And in fact, in Proverbs 31, it says that the woman is the first to raise up in the morning, early in the morning, the last to go to bed. Working all day long. Taking care of kids, taking care of things at the home. Taking care of financial matters. Proverbs 31 shows a woman who makes things, makes garments and sells them as a business. She's got a business. Speaks of the woman, virtuous woman, as somebody who could consider a field and buy it for her family. Oh, that looks good. That'll work for my family. Let's buy that field. Let's plant a vineyard in it. And then she works the vineyard in it and it supports the family. Very busy. Diligent worker. She is presented in Proverbs 31 as a compassionate servant. Someone who is reaching her hand out to the poor people in the community. So, a godly woman is reaching out to the poor. Making a difference in her own community. She is presented in Proverbs 31 as a woman who is doctrinally oriented. Someone who has a high knowledge of God and the things of God. This is a woman who spends time with the Lord, reads His Word, goes to Bible study, drinks in all that she can, all the godly wisdom that she can. And then, last but not least, she's called to be a dependable, trustworthy, wonderful mom. So, that woman is busy. There's nothing wrong with being busy. You're supposed to be busy. And folks, being a mother, I think, the hardest part, at least what I'm seeing now in my life, is dealing with children, because children can be so demanding, can't they? They can be physically demanding, physically exhausting, and emotionally draining. At every age, right, Mom? Not just at the young ones. I know that Kim and I, that's where we are in life right now. That's the part of the life that we're experiencing as parents. We have these three small children, three and under. And it is physically exhausting. It is tough. And I watch Kim, what she does, and I get exhausted. She gets up. I mean, the kids have to be fed. They have to be changed. They have to be bathed. They have to be read to. They have to be entertained. You got to watch out for them. They have to be picked up after. And we're trying to teach Lindsay she needs to pick up after herself, but she's kind of just starting to expect, oh, Mom will do that. Mom will pick up after. Kind of like I heard about a teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included the question, my full name has six letters. The first one is an M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers came back, 50% of the students answered, mother, not magnet. They can be physically demanding, challenging. And I've asked you folks, I've asked many of you that have children that are older or maybe adult children, I've said, you know, does it get any easier, this parenting thing? And you know what you've told me? You've said, doesn't get any easier, it just gets different. When they're younger, yeah, they're physically demanding. But as they get older, what happens? You've told us to be watching out for this. They become emotionally draining. Not so much physically harder, but emotionally harder. Because all of a sudden the kids grow up and they're becoming more independent. And you've got to give them the keys to the car. Oh, that's scary. I can't imagine giving Lindsay a key to a car. It'll be a scary day. But it gets tough all the way around. Moms, you are busy. Women, you're busy. This is not against being busy. It's how to handle a busy life. And you know what, moms? You work very hard, and much of your work goes unnoticed. In fact, a mom isn't respected all that much in our society anymore. Did you know that? And that's sad. Most women in America would rather be referred to by their career title than as a mom. I'm mom. People don't see that as very honorable anymore. And let's face it, it's vogue in our society now for women to go into career, be called by a career name, and pay people to raise their kids. That's what's vogue in America right now. I just want you to know that the Bible honors moms. In fact, it's one of the most noble things. It is the most noble thing for a woman to be, is a mom, according to the Bible. So if you are working outside the home, see yourself as a mom first. Or if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're with the kids all day, don't let the world look down on you because you do that. A mom is an important title. There was a woman who was getting very frustrated with that. She was a mom. She was a stay-at-home mom. And she wrote this story. I got it on email. It's great. She says, a few months ago when I was picking up the children at school, another mother I knew well rushed up to me. Her name was Emily, and she was fuming with indignation. Do you know what you and I are? She demanded. Before I could answer, and I didn't really have one handy, she blurted out the reason for her question. It seemed she had just returned from renewing her driver's license at the county clerk's office. Asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation, Emily had hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself. What I mean is, explained the recorder, do you have a job or are you just a... Of course I have a job, snapped Emily. I'm a mother. We don't list mother as an occupation. Housewife covers it, said the recorder emphatically. I forgot all about her story, she continues, until one day I found myself in the same situation, this time at our town hall. The clerk was obviously a career woman, poised, efficient, and possessed of a high-sounding title like official interrogator or town registrar. And what is your occupation, she probed. What made me say it? I do not know. The word simply popped out. I'm a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. The clerk paused, ballpoint pen frozen in midair, and looked up as though she had not heard right. I repeated the title slowly, emphasizing the most significant words. Then I stared with wonder as my pompous pronouncement was written in bold black ink on the official questionnaire. "Might I ask," said the clerk with new interest, "just what you do in your field?" Coolly, without any trace of fluster in my voice, I heard myself reply, "I have a continuing program of research." What mother doesn't? "In the laboratory and in the field." Normally, I would have said indoors and out. "I'm working for my masters." "The whole family," she goes on to say. "And I already have 4 credits, all daughters. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities, and I often work 14 hours a day, 24 is more like it. But the job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards are in satisfaction rather than just money." There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered me to the door. As I drove into our driveway, buoyed up by my glamorous new career, I was greeted by my lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3. And upstairs, I could hear our new experimental model, 6 months, in the child development program, testing out a new vocal pattern. I felt triumphant. I had scored a beat on bureaucracy, and I had gone down on the official records as someone more distinguished and indispensable to mankind than just another mother. Folks, moms are way more important than our society places on them. They're so important. No one should be embarrassed. "Oh, I'm just another mother." It's a noble, noble title. It's important to God. It's important to our children. Moms are busy. Martha was busy. And again, as I've said, it's not that we can't live busy lives. It's how do we live busy lives? Martha had gotten out of balance. She had become preoccupied with different things. She wasn't handling her busy life appropriately. And I want to ask you a question. Moms or whoever, busy dad, are you handling your busy life the appropriate way? I think that we see danger signs here in this story. Warning signs that tell us we're not. And I want you to notice them with me. The number one sign that we see in this story that tells us that we're not handling our busy life appropriately is this. Number one, we get misdirected work. Our energies become misdirected. And I think that's exactly what we see with Martha here. You're not handling your busy life correctly if you're spending way too much time on things that don't need much time. Or you're not spending enough time on things that need more time. And I think clearly we see Martha here is expending unnecessary energy on things that don't matter as much. Let me show you what I mean. Look what her job was to do in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." That was her job. Her job was to welcome Jesus into her house, to be a hostess, to be hospitable, to provide a meal, to provide a place for him to stay. That was her job. But look what she did. She went overboard with it. What it says in verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." She was to be a hostess, provide a meal, but she was distracted with much serving. She got too into it. Too many details that she got concerned with. She wanted to do too much. It says there she got distracted, a Greek word that could also be translated cumbered. She got cumbered with it. Literally, in the Greek, it means to go around in circles, to be drawn around in circles. Martha was spinning, her mind was spinning out of control about unnecessary details. She was running around in circles in that house, pursuing unnecessary details. She was majoring on the minors. Too much serving. I read an author who said that if If he could just jump into this story, he would jump into the story, he would set Martha down, and he would say, "Martha, a casserole would have been great. You didn't need to do a smorgasbord. A casserole." Putting way too much energy into details that don't matter. Folks, I think that happens to us. Moms, I think that happens to you. Women, I think that happens to you. Listen, we want and we enjoy putting on events and things at our house, at our homes that are elegant, they're nice. We want to do wonderful things for our family. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, Martha Stewart has a full-time staff working for her. She's got all kinds of people out there researching the greatest ways to put candles on a table or how to fashion these things for her event. Nothing wrong with wanting things to be nice and elegant, but listen, you can put way too much energy and time into unnecessary details. That's what Martha did. Just be a host. Open your house. Do something nice, but not too much serving. She got distracted. Second sign that you're not handling your busy life appropriate, you'll feel alone. You'll feel alone. "Well, I'm the only one doing this. It's just me. I'm too busy. Nobody cares." Notice what she said to Jesus there, verse 40. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." That's a good clue that you're not handling your busy life correctly. You feel like you're in it all by yourself, all alone. And Christian wife, Christian mother, listen, you're not in it all by yourself. You got Jesus with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Now, guys, husbands, fathers, sons, daughters, let's not live our lives so that that statement that a mom makes is legitimate. Yeah, we may be letting her do all these things by herself. We need to step in and help her and do our part around the house. But that's a sign. You see Martha, she's so distracted, and I'm doing this all by myself, all alone. Third sign, you'll be harsh and critical with other people. In fact, Warren Wiersbe said, "Whenever we criticize others and pity ourselves because we feel overworked, we had better take time to examine our lives." If we're being critical of other people, harsh with other people, it's a good sign that you're not handling your busy life very well. And moms do that. I've seen moms do that. "Did you see what that other mom did? Boy, her standards really aren't up to par." We're becoming critical of other people or harsh with other people. That's perhaps a good sign that you're not doing things right. Another thing that happens, and you'll be able to spot it, is you'll become anxious. Your life will be filled with anxiety. Martha was so full of anxiety. And that's exactly what Jesus told her. Did you notice there in verse 41? Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." That was Martha. That's how people get. You're worried and troubled about many things. It's interesting, the Greek word there for worried is a word that could also be translated caring. Listen to that. "Martha, Martha, you are caring and troubled about many things." Oh, that sounds pretty good, to be too caring. Just really caring deeply about things. But listen, again, we all have cares. Well, there's all sorts of things in our life that we need to care about and be caring about. But there are some cares that take higher priority than other cares. She was too concerned. She had way too many cares. And the cares were out of whack. They're out of balance. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Troubled, a word that means often referred to a crowd that's gone into a riot. To go turbid, crazy, all in a fret. That's a very, very good indication that you're not handling your busy life well. There's another warning sign, and this is an important one. It's an important danger sign. Those that are living a busy life and they're not handling it correctly won't have time for other people. They won't have time for other people. Martha here is so busy working, getting ready for the visit of Jesus, and she doesn't even spend time with Jesus when he gets there. No time for it. You need to have time with other people. Friends, family, relatives. I appreciate Charles Swindoll so much. Just a very wonderful Bible teacher and a pastor. And he opens his heart in his book called Stress Fractures. And he writes this. He says, I vividly remember some time back being caught in the undertow of too many commitments in too few days. And it wasn't long before I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly recall after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me about something important that had happened to her at school that day. She hurriedly began, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly realizing the frustration, I answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. I'll never forget her answer. Daddy, then listen slowly. Take time to listen. Listen, we're all busy. Everyone's busy. But you're not handling your busy life if you don't have time for other people. If you don't have time to talk with your kids, with your husband, with your wife. When Kim and I took our parenting class before these three wonderful blessings came our way, we were given some great advice. We were told that just because you become a parent doesn't mean you stop being a son or a husband or a friend to other people. And that is so true. Yeah, being a parent, there's a whole lot more commitments that you have to deal with, and there is a lot more time devoted to the family and away from that, but there still needs to be time where you interact with other people, with your parents, with your friends, with your relatives. One of the things that's been frustrating for Kim and I at our stage in life is we do have friends who have, you know, we've been friends with them for a long time, and the minute they become parents, they disappear. Never hear from them again. Gone forever. No time for anybody. Listen, it is busy. But we need to make time for other people. Martha was so busy she missed out on Jesus. Is this ringing true with any of you this morning? Do some of you feel like Martha this morning? Are there those danger signs in your life? Any of those? Mom, maybe you're asking, well, how do I get out of that? How do I bring sanity into my life? Well, one thing, what moms need the most. And Jesus speaks of it there in verse 42. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed, moms. One thing is needed, busy dads. One thing is needed, busy single person. And Mary chose it. And Jesus says, without a doubt, it is the good part. It's the best part. Mary chose it. And he goes on to say, it will not be taken away from her. Remember, Martha had asked Jesus, tell Mary to come help me. Jesus is saying, no. Mary's chosen the better part. That will not be taken from her. She can sit at my feet all she wants. That's the one thing that's needful. What did Mary choose? Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's what Mary chose. She chose to spend time with the guest. She chose to spend time with Jesus, and that's the better thing. Now listen, this isn't a license to quit all your chores at home, ladies. This isn't a license for us as guys to just live irresponsible lives. And you know, I've heard that a lot. I know a lot of Christians who are living irresponsible lives. They're not doing anything. And when you ask them about it, they say, look, man, I'm a Mary. Get away from me, Martha. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm hanging out with him. That's not an excuse. Listen, I want you to notice here that Mary did do work. She did spend time getting ready for the visit of Jesus. Look what Martha said to Jesus again in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? In other words, she had been serving with Martha. She had been involved in making the preparations for the visit that Jesus was making. She was a part of that. But listen, when the guests got there, she stopped. She hung out with the Lord. Martha was going overboard. Mary knew when it was time to quit. So she came and she stopped. And she sat at his feet. She spent time with Jesus. I want you to know the posture. Notice the posture that Mary took. It's so beautiful. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus Christ. Folks, you need to understand that that is the place where a disciple sits. A disciple sits at the feet of her master. That's how all the rabbis, when they had students that surrounded them, their students, their most intimate students, the ones that wanted to really learn, sat at their feet. Now, most of the Jewish rabbis didn't allow women to do that, but Jesus didn't have any problem with that. And Mary was a student of Jesus Christ, a disciple, sitting at his feet. That means she was committed. She was wanting to learn all that she could about Jesus. She wanted to be a student of Jesus. Remember, the definition of discipleship is show strong commitment and dedication. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. That's Mary. Wanting to follow Jesus. Wanting to be an intense learner of Jesus. But it also tells me that Mary wanted to be as close to Jesus as she could. There were other seats in the house, I'm sure. There are other places that she could have gone, but she chose the closest place. She wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible. She's sitting at his feet. That's beautiful. You know that's where we find Mary whenever she turns up in the Gospels. She's at the feet of Jesus. Here she is at his feet, learning from him. In John chapter 11, she'll fall at his feet when her brother Lazarus has died. In John chapter 12, this Mary will be the one that stoops at the feet of Jesus, pours perfume all over his feet, and wipes it with her hair. That's Mary. Spending time at the feet of Jesus. That's where you and I need to be. We need to take time to be close to him and be his learner. Look at the activity she was involved in. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She heard His word. She heard the word of God directly from Jesus Christ. And the idea here is, in the Greek, she started listening and she kept on listening. She hung on every word that Jesus was giving. All of it, through and through, to the end. She took time to hear the word of God from Jesus directly. Moms, brothers, sisters in Christ, that is still possible today. To hear the word of God from Jesus directly. Listen, man, there are a lot of wonderful Bible teachers, and I love to hear people teach the Bible, and I love to read books from good Bible teachers who have written books on Bible, books in the Bible, and I've loved to listen to the radio and hear godly people speak about the Bible, but I'll tell you, the best teacher you'll ever hear is Jesus Himself. He's the best teacher. And Jesus wants to teach you directly things from His Word. And He's given us the Holy Spirit. So as we read through this book, Jesus is literally teaching us things directly. Do you have time for that? Mary chose that, and that's something that you and I can choose today. Take time to sit at His feet, to hear the word from Him directly. I think one of the neatest things about being a parent is getting to read books to our kids. That time right before night where they go to bed, we'll read them their what is it called? The night Bible. Bible stories geared to be read right before nighttime. And we'll read those stories to our kids, and it's wonderful to do that. And we turn the pages, and they're excited with every page turn. That's many times how I like to look at reading my Bible. Jesus is with me. He's turning the pages with me as I turn them. He's pointing things out to me. He's pointing at pictures. He's highlighting words for me. He's showing me marvelous, wonderful things from His Word. I get taught from the Word of God directly by Jesus Christ. You know what? That takes time. That's the one needful thing. Spend time with Jesus. That's what it came down to, folks. Mary felt it important enough to spend time with Jesus. Martha was preoccupied with other things. And really, if you think about Martha, she was preoccupied about herself. She wanting to make everything perfect. Oh, so everybody might know what a great hostess she was or whatnot. Whereas Mary was occupied with Jesus. And that's the beauty. Folks, I don't want us to see this as an either or. You know, either be Mary or either be Martha. There's noble things in both of them. Martha was a fantastic server. And you got to admire her excellence and commitment in wanting to serve. But she got to the extreme. Mary, she chose the better thing, to sit at Jesus' feet, to spend time with Him. But again, you can't go out of balance that way either. In fact, Jesus won't let you. He'll tell you to get up and start doing things. It's coming to a balance between Mary and Martha. Spending time with Him. And then serving. Listen, we talked about all those warning signs. I want you to understand some blessings, moms, that you will have in your life if you take time to spend time with Jesus. There are many blessings, and not just moms, for all of us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, listen to this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's an invitation from Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you a yoke that's perfect for you. And my burden will be light, and my yoke will be easy. You see, when we come to Jesus every day and we spend time with Him, He'll give us the burden for the day. He'll give us that yoke that He wants us to put on for that day so many times. And it'll make you more efficient. You'll know what you need to do for that day. Take His yoke, not Martha Stewart's. Or not your perfectionist yoke. Take the yoke that Jesus wants to place upon you. His burden is light. You got to come to Him to get that rest. Jesus also said in John chapter 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus Christ has peace for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace comes in spending time with Jesus Christ. You'll also get power. As you spend time with Jesus, you'll become a more powerful witness. You'll get more strength for your day. Love that story about Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 when they got arrested and they had to speak before the Sanhedrin. Remember what they said there. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they marveled. Then they realized that they had been with Jesus. See, if you're with Jesus, if you spend time with Jesus, you will get the strength you need. You'll get the power you need. You'll get the boldness you need. It's just absolutely key to spend time with Jesus. You'll be the best mother that you can be. You'll be the best father that you can be. The best worker that you can be. You say, wait a minute, Terry. You're telling me to add another detail to my already packed life. Now I've got to get up and spend time with Jesus. Oh, I hope you don't see it that way. I don't want you to see that as another detail added to your list. You need it. It's something you need. Jesus said, one thing is needed. That one thing is needed in your life. You need it. Got to have it. And it's just as simple as this, spending time with Jesus, sitting at His feet, hearing His word. What moms need the most? Listen, that's what we all need the most. We're all busy. Are you handling your busy life correctly? Or do you see those warning signs? There's a way to get back on track. That one needful thing. Spend time with Jesus. It's as simple as that. Moms, I want you to know again how much we appreciate you, and we want you to continue working as hard as you do and as diligently as you do and behind the scenes like you do. But I pray that you would also have that time with Jesus, where you can become a more effective mom, a more effective Christian. Your work may not be seen, but it is so valuable. It's so precious in the eyes of God. Ilian Jones writes that on the great biographer Ida Tarbell's 80th birthday, someone asked her to name the greatest persons she had ever met. She responded, "The greatest persons I have ever met are those nobody knows anything about." Once, the New York Times was asked to help a group of club women decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. After due consideration, the editors replied, "The 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes." He concludes by saying, "I ask you, who was greater, Thomas A. Edison or his mother? When he was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note which said, 'Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him.' Mrs. Edison wrote back, 'You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself.' And she did, with results that are well known." Moms, you got an important job. We honor you and we respect you on this day. The best way to keep you effective, the best way to keep us all effective, is to spend time with Jesus. I'd like for the moms to stand right now. Everyone who's a mom. All right. Guys, I want you to pray right now with me for these moms, these ladies. Father, we thank you for these moms. And Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would empower them and equip them for the job that you've asked them to do. We ask that you would strengthen them for the job ahead. We ask that you would bless them in every way. I ask, Lord, that for each of these women, that they would have wonderful, precious times with you. That they would get their orders from you every day, that they would spend time with you. Help them not to neglect that. We thank you for them and we praise you for them. I ask that this would be a special time of blessing for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Sing with me. Your love is all that I need. All that I need. All that I need. Your love is all that I need. All that I need is you. Sing that again. Your love is all that I need. All that I need. All that I need. Your love is all that I need. All that I need. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. God bless.